This week's parsha is Parshas Ekev, and I wanted to discuss a Talmudic piece from the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Chaf Amud Beis, Daf 20b, that actually brings down multiple psukim from this week's parsha. And I think that when we understand this piece properly, it actually reflects on the Haftarah as well, very appropriately. So the Gemara says, "Darash Rav Avia, Zimnin Amar LeMishmei De Rav Ami, VeZimnin Amar LeMishmei De Rav Asi." So Rav Avia unlearned, he expounded. Sometimes he would quote it in the name of Rav Asi, and sometimes he would quote it in the name of Rav Ami. So what was the teaching? Amru Malchei Hasharis Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The angels said in front of God, Ribono Shel Olam, Master of the Universe. It says in your Torah, Kasub b'sarasecha, asher lo yisapanim v'lo yikach shochad. That's one of the verses from this week's parasha. It says that you're not supposed to show favoritism, and you're not allowed to take a bribe. This is in the context of judging. V'halo atanose panim l'Yisrael, but you, in turn, God, they ask God, you show favoritism to the Jewish people. D'chsiv yisashem panav v'elecha. You turn to your face to your countenance to the Jewish people. So Amar Lahem, so God answered the angels, V'chilo asa panem l'Yisrael? Should I not turn my face to the Jewish people? Shekasavti lahem b'Torah, it says in my Torah, which is in this week's parsha, V'yachalta v'savata v'irachta sashem l'kecha. You'll eat when you're satisfied, and you'll bless Hashem, your God. And they go within the letter of the law. They're extra careful. And they bless, even if they eat less. They bless even on a kezayit, on the size of an olive, the size of a beitza, of an egg. Because the commandment is visavata, when you're satisfied. And they go within the letter of the law. So the question really is, how exactly is that an answer? Here the angels come with a very good question. God is commanding that in this week's parsha, he says you're not allowed to show favoritism. And then we see that that God himself is showing favoritism to the Jewish people. So how do we understand this? How do we understand this? So first things first, we need to understand, what's the idea of the blessing here? When it says that we're supposed to bless God, does God need our blessing? So the Rabbeinu Bachai, in his commentary, he explains multiple facets to this understanding of blessing. First, when it comes to blessing, the first explanation he gives is that the truth is that God does not need our blessing. God does not need anything. He's perfect. So what does it mean that when we come to bless God, what we're really doing is we're recognizing, we're giving recognition to the fact that we understand that everything comes from God. It's even more extreme to the fact that we need to address that everything comes from God. And if we were not to, if we don't address that properly, so then we're really taking something that's really not coming to us. So there's a need for us to give that recognition. And the nature of the blessing is the act of recognizing the fact that all of the blessing that comes to us, everything that we have, is coming from Hashem. So the first aspect of bracha from brecha, which means a flow or an overflow. So baruch is the flow or is coming at atah Hashem. You are the source of blessing. Baruch atah Hashem. Brecha, or the source, the flow, the overflow, is you, God. You're the source. Then the Rabbeinu Bachai says more of a Kabbalistic approach is that it's true that God does not need our blessing, but he is mit'aveh. He desires. He wants our prayer. He wants our blessing. So in a kind of a backwards way, even though God doesn't need it, he desires it. And so the blessing is really for God. So here on one hand, we say that God does not need our blessing, that it's completely coming as an obligation. We have an obligation to recognize the fact that everything that we have is coming from God. That's aspect one of bracha. And that we're making a declaration. And we're recognizing the fact that God is the source of all blessing. But the flip side is that no, that God somehow, in a way, Kabbalistically is saying that God wants or needs our blessing, is that he desires our blessing. So here you have two opposites, what seem to be opposites. But now taking this understanding of what blessing could be, on one hand, an obligation that we need to recognize God as a source of blessing. And number two is that somehow God desires and needs our blessing because he wants that, he wants the, he's pining for it. So come back to our Gemara. On the surface, the angels have a very, very valid question. And how exactly is this an answer? Here they say, God, you said, don't show favoritism. And then God's answer is, well, I only ask them to bless me when they're satisfied, but they go within the letter of the law. What kind of answer is that? But if we understand, if we go back and look at the two aspects of Rabbeinu Bachai's approach to blessing, what really is being said here is that the nature of blessing, both aspects brought together, is an expression of an idea of a relationship and that of a love relationship when done properly. And that's the answer that the Gemara is giving us. That's what God is answering the angels. You're right. A person's not supposed to show favoritism. That's correct. But I only ask them to bless me when they're satisfied. The fact is, though, they take it and they go a step further. What they're doing when they do go within the letter of the law is they change the nature of the relationship. And that, therefore, it changes how I react to them. And it's no longer an act of favoritism. I turn my face to them, but it's not favoritism. It's the idea of this analogy. I heard this many years ago from Rav Yitzhak Torsky. He said, norms of relationships dictate different types of behavior. If I'm walking down the street and I see a stranger and I go over and I give them a hug and a kiss and I don't know this person, that's inappropriate. Perhaps they would throw me in jail. But the flip side is, if I see my child or my spouse and I do the same thing, that's completely appropriate. So we see that a relationship, and depending on the nature of that relationship, will dictate different modes of behavior. And so that's what Hashem is saying here. And that's really the answer to this idea that we're seeing here expressed of coming and Hashem's answer to the malachim, to the angels, specifically within the context of blessing. He could have used other mitzvot, but he comes and says, I want you to know that's a valid question. But in the context of blessing, of Birchat HaMazon, where I only asked them to do it when they're satisfied, and they went beyond the letter, they changed the relationship. They created a close relationship. That's the nature of the way the blessing works, is that it goes both ways. On one hand, we're obligated to bless God because we need to recognize that everything we have is from God. But on the flip side, Kabbalistically, Hashem is pining for our blessing. What that shows is this type of the nature of a relationship between us and Hashem, and that it goes both ways, based on the way we understand Rabbeinu Bach and the way the Gemara is telling us that's the nature of relationship. And that is really what is going on in this week's Haftarah. This is part of the 7 weeks of Nechama, of consolation, after going through reliving the destruction of the temple and us being sent into Galus, into exile. The Haftarah starts, it's coming from Isaiah, from Yeshayahu, and it says, Vatomer Tzion Azavani Hashem Hashem Shachacheni, and then Haseshkach Yishal La Merachem Bet Midna. Tzion says, God has forsaken me, has left me, God has forgotten me. And God's answer is it possible for a mother to forget her child, her beloved? I will never forget you. The whole Haftorah is an expression of this love affair that we have with Hashem, the Jewish people and Hashem. We have this close relationship, and in anything with relationship, it requires two-way street. So here on one hand, we have an obligation to recognize Hashem, to bless, that he's the source of our blessing. And at the same time, we have to recognize the fact that God never forgot us. He pines for us. He's waiting for us. His hands are open. His arms are open, waiting to take us and to love us and to give us a big hug. And so we need to take this message and to recognize the fact that ultimately we'll be able to Kinicham Hashem Tzion, Nicham Kol Chavroseha. Hashem reconciles or is consoled. Kinicham Hashem Tzion, he consoles Tzion. Nicham Kol Chavroseha. Vayasem in Bar Ke'eden ve'arvasaki gan Hashem. Sasson v'simcha yimatei ba'atoda v'kol zimra. We're talking about the return of a time when things will come back to life, which we're seeing, and that ultimately there'll be tremendous joy and we'll be able to rejoice together. And so this is it's built on this premise. It's built on the idea that we have this two-way relationship with Hashem. We should be excited from this idea and we should really embrace it and to try to connect in the ways in our own individual ways, because it's a tremendous opportunity. But we should know what the message is that Hashem is waiting for us. He can't wait. He's pining to hear from us. And in turn, we should be able to grow our relationship with Hashem. Everybody should have a wonderful Shabbos. All the best.